from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for June 18th. Iris, June 18th. The morning read 10 things in health worth the 8 minutes. Let's get into it. First, from Storyflow Parenting. Iris on Parenting, June 17th. From Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for June 17th. Hi, it's Iris. June 17th. 10 in health, the one that made me reread the abstract is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from Yunna. Next, second, from Motherhood Musings. What do you wear when you're home? I'm curious to know what you wear when you're home, like in the evenings when you're making dinner or when you're lounging on the sofa or reading books to your kids. Are you wearing the same clothes you wore that day? Or have you stripped it all off the minute you've walked in the door to wear your comfiest sweatpants and t-shirt? When I think of myself in the romanticized way, I'm a sophisticated woman who wears her day clothes until bedtime, so if someone showed up unexpectedly in the evening, she'd answer the door looking just as put together as she did when she was running errands earlier that day. It's like I've seen a version of the chic woman I want to be in a movie or TV series, and that's the image I think I should be. What you'd really find if you showed up unannounced is me wearing my daddiest, comfiest pair of sweatpants, which once looked chic for sweatpants but are now 3 years old and are definitely tired because I wear them every day. It's funny, when I think of this woman, I'm almost always in a different house and apartment in New York City or London, wearing reading glasses which I don't even wear. And I am not really me, in fact. Now that it's winter, I usually have my coziest jumper on too, which is also looking tattered, and my favorite slippers. There is nothing chic or sophisticated about it. Usually I strip these things off at bedtime to sleep in a t-shirt and undies, only to put them back on in the morning. I realized the other day that, because I work from home and spend so much time here, I am often wearing my cozy clothing more than my real clothing, and this can make me feel a bit bleh. And because it's winter here, I end up feeling quite frumpy in all my layers. The other evening a friend called at 6 p.m. and asked me to meet her in town for a glass of wine with a few other girlfriends. I texted back that I was already in my pajamas and couldn't be bothered getting dressed again. You guys, this is not good. This is not living. Maybe if I put a bit more effort into my home clothes, I'd feel better. I know it sounds shallow and there are, of course, far more important things to think about, but I definitely feel better about myself when I look cute. Are you the same? So tell me, what do you wear? Have you managed to find the right balance between cute and comfy? Have you found the perfect loungewear brand? And while we're on the topic, what do you wear to bed? Years ago, when I stayed with my friend Sally at her home in Connecticut, I learned that she wears a silk nightie to bed every night, even the nights when her husband is away. She told me that because she has 4 sons, she craves anything pretty and feminine in her life. I just thought that was the sweetest, most romantic thing. I wish I was a silk nightie to bed kind of woman, but I'm just not that intentional with my sleepwear. I think it's because my sleepwear usually ends up being wear around the houseware. A couple of months ago, my friend Amy and her family came to stay at our beach house for my birthday weekend, and she woke on the first morning wearing the cutest pajama set, which really made my sweatpants and baddie jumper outfit look especially uncute. When I stopped by a friend's house late in the afternoon last week, she was wearing these classic ribbed leggings with a simple jumper and looked really chic and still comfy. So now I'm on the hunt for cute pajamas and loungewear to elevate the at-home look. I've rounded up a selection below from some of my favorite brands. None of the links below are sponsored or affiliated, because I can never figure out how to use affiliate links. Up next, third, from Happy on Purpose. The 42 most binge-worthy books, TV shows, and movies of 2026 so far. Welcome to Happy on Purpose, a best-selling newsletter about happiness, habits, and midlife. Tap the button to spread the joy. This Sunday marks the solstices, summer in the Northern Hemisphere and winter in the Southern Hemisphere. And then, fourth, from Healthy Mom Club, quit counting calories for good. I'm glad you asked. There isn't a new randomized trial behind this no-calorie counting claim. What we have are mostly personal anecdotes and a handful of observational studies that link overall diet quality, more veggies, whole grains, healthy fats to better energy levels, skin health, and long-term disease risk. Those studies don't isolate calories, they look at patterns of nutrient intake, so the evidence is modest, not definitive. What the piece does well is remind us that the macronutrient mix, protein, carbs, fat, and micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, matter far more for how we feel day to day than a raw calorie number. 1,000 calories of broccoli and 1,000 calories of Oreos have very different fiber, sugar, and fat profiles, which can affect blood sugar spikes, satiety, and gut health. listening to hunger cues and cravings can sometimes signal short-term needs like magnesium after a chocolate craving, but those signals are noisy and can be influenced by stress or hormonal cycles. In practice, focusing on whole, nutrient-dense foods, think leafy greens, nuts, seeds, olive oil, and berries, tends to improve energy and body composition for most people. It's a safer, evidence-backed approach than chasing a single-calorie target, especially if you find counting stressful. Just keep an eye on overall balance and adjust as you notice how your body responds. Next, fifth, from the workspace for children. The grade isn't the win. Nate just wrapped up his freshman year at a Big Ten school, balancing varsity cross-country and track while adjusting to college life. He got in without any early specialized sports training, just a childhood of playing in the woods and building with Legos with his sisters. That background makes his athletic progress feel especially surprising and impressive. What caught his mom off guard was the grade he shared before graduation, a C in AP Calculus. Nate's been a math whiz his whole life, consistently earning S, so the confidence he showed when he mentioned the C was unexpected. It hints at a shift in how he's handling academic pressure, especially now that his focus includes high-level athletics. The story suggests that grades aren't the sole indicator of success. Nate's journey shows that a single setback like a modest grade doesn't define his trajectory. Instead, his perseverance in both the classroom and on the track illustrates a broader, more resilient approach to growth. Up next, sixth, from Cup of Joe, the Fix Everything Smoothie. I'm glad you asked about Virginia's Fix Everything Smoothie. It's basically a quick, nutrient-dense blend that the whole family enjoys. The base is a mix of spinach, frozen berries, a banana, and almond milk, giving you a good dose of vitamins, fiber, and a bit of natural sweetness without added sugar. She adds a scoop of protein powder and a spoonful of nut butter for extra protein and healthy fats, which helps keep you full through the morning. The recipe is flexible, so you can swap in whatever fruit or nut milk you have on hand. Virginia says the smoothie feels like a little daily reset, but it's not a magic cure. It's just a convenient way to pack a variety of whole foods into one glass, especially on busy mornings. If you're looking for a simple, balanced start to the day, it's worth a try. And then, seventh, from Cup of Joe, a week of outfits, Srishi Jain. Srishi Jain, the vegetarian chef and recipe developer who also writes books, walks us through a week of her everyday wardrobe. She starts by admitting she's not a fan of aprons, so she leans on an oversized t-shirt that can get a little messy without feeling like a problem. The shirt becomes a kind of uniform for her kitchen time, letting her focus on cooking rather than fussing over clothing. The rest of the week is a mix of relaxed pieces that still feel put together. She pairs the roomy tee with jeans or casual trousers, adds a denim jacket when it's cooler, and swaps in a simple sweater for a cozy evening. On days she's out of the kitchen, she layers a light cardigan over a basic top, keeping the look low-key but intentional. Overall, Jane's approach is all about comfort and practicality. She chooses fabrics that move with her, avoids anything that feels restrictive, and lets the clothes get a little dirty because for her, the food she creates matters more than a pristine outfit. It's a reminder that style can be easy, functional, and still feel personal. Next, eighth, from Scary Mommy. Parents on Reddit share the small daily rituals that help them connect with their kids. Family life is busy. Parents work, kids have school, and even in the summertime it can feel like you're constantly shuttling everyone between camps, sports, and family get-togethers. Though you do so much together, often it feels like you haven't really connected with your kids at the end of those hectic days. On r/Mommit, one parent asked a meaningful question about how to connect amid the chaos. What small daily ritual has made the biggest difference in your relationship with your kids? The answers are so sweet, and the perfect reminder that it really is the little things that matter most to our kids. I've been thinking a lot lately about how the big grand gestures, the trips, the expensive gifts, the perfectly planned birthday parties, are rarely what my kids bring up when they talk about feeling close to me, said the original poster OP. It's usually the small stuff. My oldest still talks about how we used to sit on the porch together after school and just decompress without me asking a million questions. My youngest lights up whenever I let her pick the music during our drive to daycare. I started wondering if other moms have noticed the same thing. Like, is there one tiny routine or habit that you kind of stumbled into that ended up meaning way more than you expected? Something so simple you almost feel silly mentioning it? So many parents responded that having a sit-down dinner as a family, as many nights as possible, is the ritual that helps them connect with their kids the most. Many of them make a point to ask about highs and lows of the day in their own ways. Everyone around the table shares the rose and fawn of their day. Other commenters call them roasts and toasts, happies and crappies, or good buffalo, two good things that happened and one that surprised you. Other families do a recap of their day at bedtime. We do what made us feel happy, mad, sad, scared, surprised, proud, and loved. It's given us a great opportunity to surface feelings we pushed down during the day, especially when it comes to interpersonal kid interactions. My kid is still in pre-K, so it helps us also get a good read on how her day went and learn about how days can have a multitude of feelings in them. It seems like many families also use audiobooks as a way to wind down and enjoy stories together. We listen to an audiobook before bed every night. Here are some sweet daily rituals other parents use to foster closeness with their kids. We have a handshake, kiss, hug, high five, fist bump, thumb press, and sign language I love you. She made it up at 3. My 11-year-old and I do a few of the games on the New York Times app together ever. Why day? She is 12 and isn't tired of it. 30-45 minutes where we can just hang and listen together, one commenter replied. He's actually gotten better than me at Wordle. It's often my favorite part of the day, where we're just quietly working together and cuddled up close. My husband is reading Magic Tree House to my toddler. 1-2 chapters a night and she loves it. Nighttime walk before bed. This was particularly special when my son was under 2 and had a late bedtime from still being on a multi-nap schedule, and he often went to bed after the sun was down. We'd walk around the neighborhood because there's so much to see that you don't in the day. Now he goes to bed around 7 or 8 so it's still light outside, but it wears him out and we get quality time as a family. I started watching thunderstorms with my kids. We live in the Midwest where we get a lot of summer storms with lightning. The kids will come down even after they're in bed and know I'll let them sit at the big bay window with me to watch the storm come through. We have a lot of big old trees that will sweep back and forth in the winds, and I'll crack the window so we can hear all the effects. It's a good time. Weekend movie nights. I set up pillows and blankets and stuffers on the floor and pop popcorn. They each get their own popcorn bowl and little ramekin of mixed up candy mixture from whatever is left over from a recent holiday. I love the snuggle time and it's so sweet when the whole fam is laughing together. In a social media world where it feels like all you see are the big Disney trips and spendy surprises, this thread is a great reminder that some of the best things in life really are free or at least fairly low cost. We pick a movie to watch together, and we let them stay up later than usual. An appreciation for the sound of the rain, and having it be a warm reminder of home, is a gift that will truly last a lifetime. Up next, 9th, from Scary Mommy. 33 brunch-goaded baby names that belong on a reservation list. Some baby names feel like they belong in a beach town, or maybe traipsing through a national park. Some sound destined for an artsy life, burying their noses in books. The point is, some baby names just have a vibe and brunch-goaded is definitely one that we can get behind. But what even is a brunch-goaded baby name? They're names that have that certain pre-noon, eat life je ne sais quoi. They feel old-fashioned, but not like they're trying too hard. They're sophisticated, yet still approachable. They're precious, but also precocious. They sound like they should come with a tiny linen napkin, neatly folded and placed in the lap of a well-mannered child asking for a bite of your Eggs Benedict, please. These brunch-goaded names belong to children who will grow up to appreciate the simplicity in a centerpiece of fresh flowers, bask in the comfort of sun-drenched patios, and live for a meal that starts in the morning and stretches lazily into midday. This citrusy name makes me think of bright orange slices floating in a pitcher of something sweet and refreshing. It's a little old-timey and irrefutably charming, I mean. Nobody will ever be mad at a clementine. It's just not possible. Another food name. This one has a bit more bite. Sure, it's as sweet as it can be, but Olive is also slightly salty. She'll steal food off your plate, and you'll let her. She is unbothered and cool. An old English name meaning fortified hill. Arlo is just that guy. He wears flannel and has a record player and is cool in a way that doesn't feel contrived. If you loved Schitt's Creek, that's probably the first thing you'll think of when you hear this name. That Twyla held down the Cafe Tropical Diner and loved to experiment with smoothie flavors. Meaning Twilight, this distinctive name is for the girl who shows up in oversized vintage sunglasses and orders an iced lavender latte. Poppy is pure early morning light energy in name form. She's bright and cheerful. The name literally means red flower, the finder of the best patio seats. The one with the laugh that makes strangers at the next table over smile. With a name that means bold people, it's no wonder Theo's are the life of the party. he could be too, and he'd still be the most charming person at the table. He'll say thank you to the server unprompted and ruin you for all other children. We all know the story of little Alois who lived at the plaza, right? That's the persona your Alois will inhabit, poised, an aptitude for the dramatic, lives for pastries, and romanticizes the seat closest to the window. This name might mean famous warrior, but make no mistake, her charm is her sword. A color name and a food name, Hazel is inherently cozy and familiar. She grows up to be the friend who's a little bit nutty, too, in the best possible way. She's the one planning the brunch dates, and then forever texting, running 5 min behind, my bad. Hugo means mind, intellect, soul, and heart. And honestly, what more could you want for your son than for him to have that constellation of traits? Hugo is the friend who says, come on, just one more at 1 p.m. and everyone agrees, just to be in his orbit a little longer. A genuine delight. The primary ingredient in many a brunch cocktail, juniper as a name comes across as botanical and a little woodsy. Think of it as our Bursabouge like a hike through an evergreen forest that ends at a cute cafe for a spritz by noon. A classic name of French origin, Margot means pearl and is a diminutive form of Marguerite. So, all around, elegant in an effortless way. She's the kind of girl who refuses to pursue trends, is impossible to fluster, and will always order something that isn't on the menu but they make it for her anyway. If you're looking for a name that feels like brunch but also brings perpetual golden hour energy, let us put you onto August. This gender-neutral name, which means great or exalted, feels welcoming and unhurried. He's never going to be the person at the table in a rush to ask for the check. This Latin name means voyager, but its connotations feel decidedly homey. Think Beatrix Potter and bunnies and a sweet little vegetable garden. It's a bookish name that seems destined for a life filled with finger foods and tea service. Another name with bookish roots thanks to Pulitzer Prize-winning author Willa Cather. This one means resolute protection. And that feels right for our Willa girls, doesn't it? They're the friend who saves you a seat at the table and orders a carafe of something for the table to share. You've probably never met a Miles you didn't like. This name, which means merciful, is low-key and a little jazzy. He's the guy everyone goes to when they want to find the best new brunch spot. At backyard brunches, he picks the playlist and it's always perfect. This gorgeous Irish name means she who intoxicates, and you can't get much more brunch-goaded than that. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow.